This is Focus West Michigan for Tuesday, February 10, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Regional Economic Development Organization Lakeshore Advantage released its 2025 annual report. WGVU's David Limbaugh explains that economic growth along the lakeshore has been slow but steady.
We assisted with 8 business expansion projects across our region this year.
Grace Maiulo is Lakeshore Advantage's Director of Marketing and Communications. She explains how their annual 2025 report highlights slow but steady economic progress for Ottawa and Allegan counties.
Those projects represent 231 new jobs and nearly 600 retained jobs.
The report shows nearly $132 million in private investments from companies such as JR Automation, Hudsonville Ice Cream, and Atlas Headrest. Lakeshore Advantage also reports that for every $1 invested in the Economic Development Organization and its new Next Center Support Hub in Holland, $42 was returned to the economy through private investment.
Seeing that 60% increase in our membership was also just not something that we expected in our first year.
The report also notes that over 800 acres have been prepared across Ottawa and Allegan counties for future industrial development. You can read the full report online at lakeshoreadvantage.com/invest. I'm David Limbaugh.
Grand Rapids City Manager has appointed an interim chief of police, replacing Chief Eric Winstrom, who resigned last week. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
City Manager Mark Washington named Deputy Chief Joe Trigg as interim police chief following the departure of Eric Winstrom, who is taking a position in Pensacola, Florida. Trigg is a 25-year veteran of the Grand Rapids Police Department, currently serving as Field Operations Deputy Chief. Trigg worked in neighborhoods across the city as a community policing specialist, watch commander, leader of the Internal Affairs Unit, a field training officer, and on the peer support team. Trigg views the role of interim chief as an honor and responsibility. He's focused on a smooth transition with safety at the forefront for officers and the public, and a goal to continue building staff.
We don't want anyone to be discouraged by the chief leaving. Obviously, he was a very popular and well-liked guy, so we want them to know that this agency has been a great agency for a long time, and it's going to continue to be that. So we want the best men and women to come here. We want to retain the ones we have.
The city will partner with a professional firm conducting a nationwide search for a permanent police chief. Internal candidates will also be considered. The process will include community and law enforcement input. Trigg will begin serving as interim chief March 2nd. I'm Dee Morrison.
After 2 years on the Muskegon City Commission, Jay Kilgo says he is ready to serve in the state Senate. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports Kilgo is running as a Democrat to replace Republican John Bumstead in the 32nd District.
I'm Jay Kilgo. I'm running for state Senate.
In his social media messages, Muskegon City Commissioner Jay Kilgo says if he's elected to the state Senate, he's ready to confront the many challenges Michigan faces.
I'm not a single issue candidate. We have a lot of people in our communities that have a lot of different concerns.
But if elected, he says health care will be a priority.
I believe health care is a human right, not a privilege. We need universal health care for all Michiganders. No one should go broke trying to stay alive.
And affordable housing. As a real estate broker, he says it's an issue he knows particularly well.
I firsthand know how our housing system is failing too many of us. As your next state senator, I'll fight to expand affordable housing.
Kilgo is 2 years into his first term on the Muskegon City Commission. Democrat Rebecca Amidon and Republicans Kim Cole and Max Rixey are also running in the 32nd District. Incumbent Republican John Bumstead is term limited and can't run for re-election.
We need leaders who will listen, not leaders who already have their mind made up.
Join our movement and support my campaign for Michigan State Senate.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Dee Morrison looks at a new series of online toolkits for sexual health conversations, but first, news from around the state. Governor Gretchen Whitmer is planning to propose more base funding for schools and at-risk students this week when she unveils her suggestions for the next state budget. Colin Jackson has more.
The governor's budget presentation isn't until Wednesday at the State Capitol Building in Lansing, but a preview from her office shows she plans to ask lawmakers to give school districts an extra $250 per student. Whitmer will also ask to continue free breakfast and lunches for all public school students. Her office says she wants the free meals offered for the past 3 school years to become permanent in state law. The governor is also looking to continue other programs from past budgets, including universal preschool for 4-year-olds. The State House and Senate will be coming out with their own budget proposals in the coming months. I'm Colin Jackson.
Pregnant and new mothers who live in Detroit can now receive no strings attached cash assistance. The payments will come from the RX Kids program, which provides $1,500 to pregnant people and $500 a month for the first 6 months of the baby's life. RX Kids launched Monday in Detroit and is available for all Detroit babies born this year. Dr. Mona Hanna directs the program. She says it's medicine rather than charity.
It's not a pill, it's prevention. We give families a little bit of breathing room during pregnancy and infancy when money is the tightest, because stress, housing instability, and hunger makes kids and communities sick.
The program started in Flint and is now active in over 25 lower-income communities around the state. State officials say next month it will be available across the entire UP. Democratic candidate for governor Jocelyn Benson on Monday said Michigan needs to do more to address the state's black maternal health care crisis. The Secretary of State says it's a central piece of her plan to improve health care in Michigan.
Black women in our state are nearly three times as likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women.
Benson says her plan would be to expand Medicaid, cover doula and midwifery services, along with pre- and postnatal care. She did not address how much it would cost to implement her plan, though she insists the cost would be covered by making the health department more efficient. Benson is part of a large field of candidates running to succeed outgoing Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. The Grand Rapids LGBTQ+ Healthcare Consortium is launching a series of online toolkits focused on sexual health conversations. WGVU's Dee Morrison spoke with their executive director, Jenny Knight, about the need.
The idea behind it has always been to address gaps in care in healthcare that LGBTQ community members face. And we've done that by education, having conversations, but mostly around education. How can we offer both healthcare staff and community members education that can help them seek the appropriate health care and keep them safe? And a lot of our focus has been around things like preventing HIV, preventing STIs. And that's where the toolkits come in very, very handy for us and for the community and providers.
Tell me a little bit about what is the toolkit.
This is our third toolkit that we have launched. And what they are information. It's all research-driven education. And we have it set up, we call it a two-door approach. So one door might be labeled for community members. And it has all information in there that will help them understand, like on this one, sexual health, what does it mean? Actually describing some of the words and language, how they can do an assessment on themselves or get some information to assess, are they ready for these conversations? And also how to talk to, like in this one particularly, their parents or adults in their family and their healthcare providers. The other door in most of our toolkits is for healthcare staff. So it gives them all kinds of data and information and links to more education on these topics. We also added a third door that has similar information for like the parents or caregivers of these youth so that they can have all the information that they need so that they can have conversations with their youth and also possibly with the youth's healthcare provider. So the toolkits are unique in that we have it addressing everybody involved in the care. So the patient, their adult, if that's appropriate, and then the providers. And on each of our toolkits, there's also a QR code that whoever's looking at that particular door of information can download. And then if they're talking to like their provider or their patient or the parent, they can show them this QR code like on their phone, and the other person can scan this QR code and it takes them to their area in the toolkit. Now, there's doors, but they're not locked. Anybody can go into any door and see what's back there. The doors kind of distinguish information is behind each one.
Part of that toolkit, I imagine, is just having the words to discuss this, having a guide for how to have the conversation.
Absolutely. And one of the things we realized quite a long time ago, because we started working on PrEP, the pre-exposure prophylaxis, and trying to prevent HIV infections. And what we were finding is people are very uncomfortable saying the word sex. There's so much stigma, there's so much shame around that, and it's kind of like a taboo topic. We don't have healthy conversations about it, then people avoid it. And so language is important. If you're using a word that nobody else knows what that means because you have like nicknamed something, then the conversation's not going to get you the best results. Even in explaining what the language is and what the words mean is important. When we talk to some of the training programs for healthcare providers, like physicians, advanced practice providers, nursing, they're not taught these things. They're not taught how to talk to someone about sexual health. They're not taught how to talk to them about how to keep themselves safe. So it becomes this weird conversation where nobody really knows what to say or how to say it. And so there's a lot of innuendos or talking around the topic. So we're trying to make it more talk to them just like you would if you thought maybe you had a cold or maybe you have potentially diabetes. How do you talk about that? And we're trying to normalize that because the only way we can keep people safe is if everybody is being open and honest about what the risks are and how to address them.
Consortium is partnering with healthcare providers to work on this, to get this into their hands, correct?
We have a provider directory, and that is providers that have self-attest that they provide culturally appropriate, affirming care to people. And so we've emailed this link to all of them. They've shared it internally, and the people that have seen it have said it's been amazing. It's very helpful. They're hopeful that it will be useful in their practices. We've also shared it with some parents and asked them to have their youth look at it. And we're getting some really good positive feedback as well because they see what their kids, their youth is looking at. They see what information they're getting, but it also opens up an opportunity for them to have conversations with these youth. So having feedback from the healthcare staff, the adults, and some of the youth has been very helpful for us.
Where can people access this?
If they go to the Grand Rapids LGBT Healthcare Consortium, on our landing page up at the top right corner, it'll say toolkits. Click on that, it'll show up all the toolkits that we have, and they can click on that link to the Adolescent Sexual Health Toolkit, and it'll take them into that spot. This particular topic is very sensitive and it can be very touchy and people kind of get uncomfortable with it. But when you think about it, that this is a tool to keep people safe, that's the most important thing, because while teen pregnancies in Michigan have dropped drastically since the early 2000s, STIs have not. They've gone up in most cases. So especially chlamydia and gonorrhea. In youth under 25, there's 65% of the cases are youth. And 10% of those chlamydia cases in youth are reinfections, which means that they're not getting the education on how to prevent that. And that is in this toolkit as well. And there's been a lot of research around that. And again, I think it kind of goes back to being uncomfortable bringing up this word and using the word sex, is that somewhere between 50 and 80 something percent of sexual health histories in electronic health records are blank. And that often means that providers make assumptions. So if you say you're heterosexual, they automatically will assume you're having sex with somebody that's the opposite sex of you, monogamous. And so they don't ask questions. And that's a huge missed opportunity to keep somebody safe. They also make some assumptions based on how you present. But I think first and foremost, it's lack of education and lack of being comfortable talking about this. So in our toolkit, we have much more detailed information about how to take a history and why. We really want to get to the why, because if people understand the why behind why we have to ask these questions, they're more likely to be honest and open about it. Because healthcare providers can't keep people safe if they don't have the information.
Thank you so much, Jenny. I appreciate you taking the time to talk about this.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Tuesday, February 10, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.